Good morning, everybody. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? My, it always is, isn't it? What a celebration, well, a remembrance this weekend of Palm Sunday and our Lord Jesus Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I tell you, thank God for the Word of God. It recalls us to our remembrance. And to the greatest event in history next week, and make sure and be here, is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's just a great time of year. A great time of year. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I do want to open in prayer this morning. Amen. So would you bow your heads with me, and we'll just ask God's blessing upon His service this morning. Father, again, it is a great privilege to be in your house. It always is. And Father, we are grateful that you are here because we are here. We ask for your blessings, God, upon this service this morning, God. And Father, just touch our lives, touch our hearts, and may we touch your heart with our praise and with our worship, Lord, in this place this morning, God. Let all that is said and done bring glory to your name. And Father, let us leave different than we came. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Commit the service into your hands. We want to just thank you again for being in your house. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We want to welcome those that are watching via the internet this morning. Welcome to True Memorial Baptist Church this morning. It's, again, great to have you here. If you can't be here physically, please just enjoy the service this morning with us. Take your hymnals this morning. We're going to do a little bit of singing. We're going to be on page 173. For those that are watching, amen, the song is All Glory, Loud, and Honor, amen, to our King this morning. 174. What do we got here? Let's make sure 174. 174. Okay, later on the other one. Hosanna. Amen, loud honor. Hosanna. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalms 118, starting at verse 19. Amen. I love this portion of scripture. And in fact, every time I read this portion of scripture, it reminds me of something when I was a child. In church, we had Sunday school, and once a year they'd have an evangelist come, And it was interesting, Pastor, because the evangelist was an Indian. And he would come with full dress, Indian, you know, robe. I'm telling you, it was really impressive as a child. And he got up, and I'll never forget the statement he made. He says, young kid, did you know that Jesus was actually Indian? And all of us kids would say, really? He'd say, oh, yes, the Bible's very clear. He was chief cornerstone. Then he made it clear he was only kidding. But I'd never forget that, Pastor. I'll never forget that within my life, I'm telling you. So we are in Psalms 118, starting at verse number 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which righteous may enter. I will give thanks for you. Answer me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For the house of the Lord we may bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand and joint and festival procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love endures forever. Wow, wow, wow. Again, let us go to the Lord in prayer. We are ever thankful for the time of year. I am thankful for the sunshine, number one. I am thankful for the warmth, number two. And summer, I always say spring is the best time of year because summer's next. Come on. So thank the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Father, we know again that you are mindful of us here. And God, I know that you are here within our midst, Lord, because we are here. Thank you for that Psalms we read, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are the chief cornerstone. You are the Lord, and we exalt you in this place this morning, Father. As we worship you in song and worship you in praise, worship you in the word of God that you have given us, Lord, and Father, we worship you in every aspect of life, Lord Jesus, that our lips may worship you, our hands, our hearts, our minds might be centered upon you, Lord Jesus, that you might be glorified from within our lives, Lord Jesus. We rejoice this day, Lord, that our names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that, Father, you have given us that great salvation, Lord, that you have provided for us, Lord Jesus. We are truly a blessed people beyond measure. We exalt your name this morning again, Lord Jesus. May you be glorified. May you be honored in every part of this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Would we please quote the Lord's Prayer together this morning? Amen. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 Next song, 173, folks. Amen. All glory, loud and honor.
God is good. We have a lot to be thankful for here today. I think that we should sing a song about how thankful we are and sing thanks to the Lord. God is faithful. He is good. Let's sing about it.
Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise.
With a mighty hand,
with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise.
Let's stand and sing to him.
Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever.
From the rising
to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we will carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With us forever.
Sing, his love endures.
His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Forever and ever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever and ever. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name. Shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. our God, we will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God, we will sing. There is no one like our God, we will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God, we will sing. There is no one like our God, we will praise you, praise you. Jesus, you are God, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Sing Yahweh.
Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh
this morning. I'm going to ask Aaron and Amanda Whedon if they could join me up front for some announcements. And as they are coming up, just a very quick little heads up about this week's activities. Friday evening at 7 o'clock is going to be our Good Friday Communion service. So do please join us for that. That will be at 7 o'clock. Sunday morning, Amanda will tell you about a Saturday afternoon event in a moment, but for Sunday morning, 5:45 up on the hill at Broadview Animal Hospital, we'll be having our sunrise service. I remember last year we had a beautiful Sunday came up just in time for our service, and it made it extra special. But 5:45 this year, we'll meet you up on the hill there. And then we'll be coming back here to church, to the fellowship hall, and our hospitality is planning a continental breakfast for us. The only thing that we ask about that is if you do that you do sign up for it so we know how many to plan and prepare for. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer. Let me put this on here also for that. And if you haven't signed up yet, please do check that out before you leave today. So just some things to for you to know about next weekend. Also, as it relates to the decorating committee, if you had signed up or if you have not yet signed up to have a plant donated in memory of a loved one of yours, please do that as soon as you can and get your money into the decorating committee. So just a few things we wanted you to know about that's coming up this week. And right now I'm going to hand things over to, I don't know which one of you goes first, but Aaron, men's outing, and Amanda, Saturday with the children.
All right, so there was a little bit of a change made. We were going to do shooting and then dinner. We're flip-flopping that. We're actually going to do 5 o'clock to 5:45 at Milo's Pizza in Barrington on the 24th, and then 6 to 8 at the indoor range at Renaissance. Bring your own firearms and ammunition. We need it's $25 per person. Well, it's a men's outing, so per man, let's put it that way. And it needs to be in by Resurrection Sunday next week. You can see Pastor Sue or my wife with the cash. And let's see, I think that about covers it. You're making me nervous. But yeah, it's come out. It's really going to be a fun time. Yes? Oh, sorry. Come out. It's going to be a really, really great time. Yes, go online and fill out the waiver at Renaissance Firearms website. The waiver takes a little while to fill out, so you don't want to do that night. Walk in and do it. Yeah. Okay. So they're on file there for a year, so if you've been there within the last year, they'll still have your name on file.
They know you. So there are men from the community that are invited, and we would encourage you men to invite other men. It's going to be so fun. So I would like to tell you about, I don't have the flyer. Let's hope I know it. Thank you. There it is. So next Saturday, we are having a family Easter program. If you're here, you're family. So it's next Saturday, the 16th, from 1 to 3:30 here at True Memorial. And my heart really lies in letting families and encouraging them in the Lord, obviously, but around Holy Week and Easter to keep the focus for families on the resurrection and on Christ. So we're going to be watching a really fun short film. And it's part of the series that's listed here, What's in the Bible with Buck Denver. This is Phil Vischer's sort of after VeggieTales. It's a puppet-themed ministry, and it's a wonderful series. We own the whole thing as a family, and it is just fun for all ages. We learn something. It's about church history, and so we're going to be watching that part that is about the resurrection and enjoying cookies and lemonade downstairs in the fellowship hall in sort of a carnival themed thing going on. And then outside, weather permitting, we are going to be embarking on a resurrection treasure hunt. So I would love for you to join us. I would love for you to invite people to join us. If you have grandchildren, if you have nieces, nephews, friends from, you know, other things that you do in your life, we would love for you to invite them to join us. So all ages are welcome. There is going to be something special for teens to do. So if you could please think about it and invite people and just let me know. I just need sort of a head count. There'll be enough cookies, so just come. there's all kinds of good sign-up sheets happening in the foyer today, right? Sign them up. We'll get you lots of pens.
Thank you, Whedon. Amanda, here we go. I'll use this one. As Amanda mentioned grandchildren, it brought one thing to my mind. John, Sue, Hyman became grandparents again this week. Lauren had her first baby. John, correct me. Is David Stephen Weil, 8 pounds, 2 ounces? 8 pounds, 3 ounces. Don't forget that ounce, okay? That's very important. So congratulations to John and Sue for that. All righty. That being said, gentlemen, would you join me up front at this time? Let's take up our morning offering. Let's continue in our worship of the Lord through now the bringing forth of our tithes, our offerings, our gifts unto the Lord, that which we have set aside already, that which we come to into His presence with now, to worship Him, to bring glory to His name, to walk in obedience to His word with great joy, and for the continuance and the furtherance of His kingdom work, His ministry, in a time such as this. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, You have blessed us with gifts every day. So many times our mind thinks of gifts in the physical realm, in the financial realm, in the material realm. But Lord, we know that the greatest gift of all is in a person. His name is Jesus. And Lord, in worship to Your name, we now bring forth that which You have first given to us. And Lord, we present it to You as an offering of love, of worship, in obedience to Your word. Lord, our treasures are not in the things of this world. Our treasure is Jesus. Amen. And now in His name, receive the gifts of Your people, O Lord. We give it to You in the name of Jesus, our precious Redeemer. Amen.
Well, it's always a privilege to sing a song for the Lord. So I've had this one prepared for about 6 months and had several occasions to try it, but never worked out. So this morning I've going to sing maybe an old hymn that you might know. It's called "The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago." I don't know how long ago you got saved, but I was raised as a child and got saved as a young person. I'm so glad my name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Yeah. When I stand before God, I will not stand in my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I am glad my name has been written down. Amen. It goes like this. Just enjoy it and sing along if you want to, but that's up to you. Okay? It goes like this. Amen. The old account was settled long ago. Well, there was a time on earth when in the book of heaven that old account was standing, for sin yet unforgiven, and my name was at the top, and many things below. I went unto the keeper, and I said, long ago, well, long ago,
down on my knees,
well, long ago,
I settled it all.
Well, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Well, the old account was live and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw some pain and woe, I said that I would settle, and I settled it long ago.
Well, long ago, down on my knees,
well, long ago,
I settled it all.
Well, the old account was settled long ago, it's clear the day, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. When at the judgment bar I stand before my king, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing. Then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled, I settled it long ago.
Well, long ago, down on my knees,
well, long ago,
I settled it all.
And the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I had it settled, I settled it long ago.
Well, long ago, my knees,
well, long ago,
I settled it all.
And the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. All sinners seek the Lord, repent of all your sins, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, out there you'll not regret it, for you settled it long ago.
Well, long ago, down on my knees,
well, long ago,
I settled it all.
And the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away.
And the old account was settled long ago,
and the old account was settled long ago,
and the old account was settled long ago.
Thank you, Al. Before I get started today, I wanted to thank our worship team. I wanted to thank Pastor Al for leading us before the throne of grace today. And I also wanted to welcome Jennifer back. I missed you dearly last week, dear. Thank you for being back with us and leading us in worship today. Folks, Zechariah chapter 9. Would you find the text with me, if you will, this morning? Zechariah chapter 9. We'll keep this handy in case we need it. There is no other king like our Jesus, prophesied long before he arrived, perfect, holy, without sin, full of grace and unconditional love for us, a perfect sacrifice, a holy atonement, a lamb of sacrifice that satisfied the righteous requirements and judgments of his Father, risen in power from the grave, ascended on high, seated at the right hand of his Father, and coming again. There is no one else like our Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, for this season of worship in your house, we praise your name, we exalt you above all others. There is no other God beside you. You alone are Lord. Receive the worship of your people this day. And Lord, open before us this hour is your word, the beautiful, the perfect word of God. We know that it points to a lamb, the Lamb of God, whose name is Jesus. We thank you for the precious promises found within its pages. We thank you that it all points to you from beginning to end, from first page to last. We thank you, O Lord, that you have a plan for our lives, that our names indeed are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today you are alive and active. Your word has given to us truth. It is life. It is light. And Lord, today on this Palm Sunday, as we remember the meaning and the significance of that great event, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see the precious words and the promises of the truth of the sacred text. Lord, draw us close to your heart this day and this hour, and may we find ourselves engaged in the study of thy word with sharpened minds, ears clearly in tune, and eyes focused. Lord, control our hearts now, we pray. Through Jesus' name, amen. Over 2,500 years ago, actually 500 years before even the birth of Jesus Christ himself, God raised up prophets in the land of Israel to encourage, to instruct, and to rebuke his people. Even those who came back from their years of captivity in Babylon, God raised up a prophet, a fellow by the name of Haggai. He would minister to the Jews to occupy themselves with the building of another temple in Jerusalem. We call this Second Temple period. The Lord raised up a fellow by the name of Zerubbabel, and he would construct a temple in Jerusalem. It would certainly be on a much more modest scale than Solomon's grand temple, but Second Temple Israel would exist again. As the work began on the temple, it went unfinished. It was delayed for a while. God raises up Haggai the prophet to tell the people that while they are living in paneled houses, that God's house remains unfinished. They were looking to their own interests while neglecting God's temple. Haggai called the people to repent, to renew their covenant with God. They listened. They completed the second temple in the year 516 BC. God raised up another prophet. His name was Zechariah. Zechariah would be a contemporary of Haggai, meaning they both lived at the same time. They ministered together. Zechariah had a word also for the nation of Israel, and it was to renew their covenant relationship with their covenant God, so that when the temple was finished being built, they would have that centralized location to worship. So God raises up Zechariah. God gave this very same prophet eyes to see a still yet future event. If you have his book out front of you, the prophet Zechariah, turn with me, if you will, to chapter 9 and let your finger rest on verse 9. 500 years before Jesus even came, 2,500 years from these days, the prophet wrote these words. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And this passage would be fulfilled perfectly on that day that we call the very first Palm Sunday, that day that we remember today. It was a day when many pilgrims would make their way to Jerusalem for the first of the annual spring feasts. They would travel long and far distances to come for Pesach, for the Passover, also the Feast of Unleavened Bread that would be celebrated at that same time also. So at this time, many Jews from many miles away would have traveled in for the Passover event. Let's remember what happened that day. And we're going to allow the gospel writers Matthew and Luke to tell us about what happened on that day when Zechariah 9:9 was fulfilled in their presence. The gospel of Matthew chapter 21, join me at verse 1 if you will. And the word of God reads like this. "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.'" Look at verses 4 and 5. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet." We just read this now, right? Verse 5. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Now, flip over a few pages in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Verse 28 is where we'll begin here. Luke will tell us a few more details. "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it, bring it here.'" Once again, "If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, his owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, he said, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" The words of the ancient prophet would be fulfilled on this very first Palm Sunday, as we refer to it today. The people in Jerusalem are referred to as the daughter of Zion. They are referred to as the daughter of Jerusalem. And it was theirs that day that they would welcome their king with glad rejoicing. The Bible says, "Your king" refers to the Messiah. The Bible uses the word righteousness, and that would describe the Messiah's character and his reign when he will come again and reign in his kingdom. Jesus advances now, descending down the Mount of Olives on its west side. There are those of you who are here this morning, along with me, who have traveled down the Mount of Olives on the west side, this very same path that Jesus went down on this day. We have been there before. And the act of spreading their cloaks on the road, along with palm branches, was a sign of homage and respect for him. The whole crowd of disciples, the Bible says, they began to rejoice and to praise God. And the Bible says, for all of the miracles, daimion, the things that they had seen. The word daimion means evidences of spiritual power. They had seen this in Jesus. And they are quoting from a messianic psalm, which is Psalm 118. Pastor Al read it for us this morning. In Psalm 118, verse 26, Hosanna, meaning, Lord, save now, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The gospel writer Luke tells us that some of Israel's religious leaders, the Pharisees, now tell Jesus to rebuke his followers and to tell them to stop calling him the Messiah and the King. And Jesus reports and he says with this proclamation that if he says this to them and he tells his disciples to stop making this proclamation, that even inanimate objects, the stones will cry out, he says, to give witness and testimony as to who he is. So today, in these days in which we live, in this postmodern, post-Christian world, when the followers of Jesus Christ are trying to be silenced by the world, we will continue to proclaim who he is. He is Jesus. He is Lord. He is God, very God. He died for our sins, and that God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And this Jesus is coming back again. And we will not stop proclaiming that. Prophecy is being fulfilled. The King is being presented to his people. They are now at a fork in the road. What are they going to do with him? Will they receive him or will they reject him? The same thing, the same exact thing happens today. When the offer and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ goes forth, man's heart has the opportunity to receive or to reject. Listen to what the gospel writer Luke says. We're going to continue on now. We're still in Luke chapter 19, verse 41. It goes on. This is still what happens that day. When he drew near and he saw the city, he wept over it, the Bible says. Verse 42, saying, what would you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus shows incredible compassion on Jerusalem. And he knows that because of the national rejection of him, they as a people would reject their Messiah. He knew that there would also come a day, that day would arrive in A.D. 70, August of A.D. 70, when under General Titus, the Romans would march into town, they would tear down the temple, they would ransack Jerusalem. And that would be the fulfillment of this text of Scripture and God's judgment upon these people in this nation for having rejected their Messiah. Jesus weeps over the city. The people did not understand the significance of that day and that event. Here now is the King who is present, who is bodily present and visible, and they have a choice to make. What are you going to do with this Jesus? Well, we know now, as the events of that week unfolded, they would, as a nation, reject him. Not all, of course, but as a nation, they would. On this Palm Sunday, many of Jerusalem's residents, maybe some who were pilgrims there that day, who had traveled far distances to come, many were laying down their garments in the road. They were laying down palm branches before him. They were quoting from Psalm 118. Many recognized that this indeed was the heaven-sent Messiah. Many also would reject him. Some were shouting forth, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, save us." Yet at the very same time, later that week, there were those who would turn the cheers into derision and mocking. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 says, "And some were shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" Luke chapter 23, verse 18, "Others were shouting, 'Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas.'" Matthew chapter 27, verse 20 tells us that it was the chief priests and the elders that persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to destroy Jesus. The Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 15, "And the chief priests asserted, 'We have no king but Caesar.'" Can you believe that? These Jews who loathed the Romans, they hated them with great passion, yet in their contempt for Jesus and for their rejection of him, would actually give their allegiance to Caesar. The gospel writer John, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, tells us this. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." 2,000 years ago was a day of competing messages. There were those who were proclaiming, "O Lord, save us," Hosanna, that's what the word means, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Yet that very same week, there would also be the other message, "Release Barabbas, we have no king but Caesar, and crucify him." The messages were competing 2,000 years ago. The messages are competing today. And the voices today are growing louder and louder. There are voices today that say, "No, we do not want this Jesus to be our king, to be our sovereign. We do not want his word to govern over us, to oversee our lives, and to be the standard for our living." And today, in 21st century America, deep foundational cracks have appeared, and a shift is occurring, and it has happened in our lifetime, and it is happening before our very eyes. We have seen this incredible shift occur in our culture. There was a day when the trustworthiness of the Scriptures were a presumed thing. There was a day when we did not have to deal with a culture that tells our children and that tells our grandchildren that the Bible is full of contradictions, that it is a book of fairy tales and myths and fanciful stories. We can no longer depend upon a culture that had been somewhat Christianized in its belief systems. That is not the case anymore. There is a metamorphic shift that has happened in our lifetime, and we have seen it. Many of you who are here today and who are joining us online have had the occasion at some point in time in your lives to have flown in an airplane, making your way from one destination to another. So you are somewhat familiar with the language of the flight attendant. Somewhere towards the end of the flight, the captain has landed the aircraft. And before you stand to collect your personal belongings, maybe in the overhead compartment, the flight attendant will come on the intercom and he or she will say something to this effect. They will say, "Please exercise caution as you retrieve your carry-on luggage, as some of the items in the overhead compartment may have shifted during flight." Folks, we're living in a day and age when a whole lot has shifted in this flight. There's a whole lot in the overhead compartment that is not the same anymore as when we started the flight. And it deals mostly with matters of faith. And the definition that we define the terms with which we live under today, for we are living more and more in a post-Christian culture and a postmodern world. There are still those today, even today, who say, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is no king other than our Jesus." And yet there are also voices that say today, "You keep your Jesus to yourself, and you keep your Bible to yourself." Last month, you may have seen this story appear. I just made a quick copy of that. I wanted to refer to it today. It appeared in the March 3rd, this year, 2022, edition of our local newspaper, the Foster's Daily Democrat. The article was entitled, "The Rochester Mayor Blasts Russia, Defends Beginning Meetings with a Prayer." Okay, let me just read to you the article. It'll just take me 2 minutes. Mayor Paul Callahan joined leaders around the globe. What I want to get to is at the end of the article, so just bear with me here, okay? Joined leaders around the globe when he blasted the Russian invasion of Ukraine at the opening of Tuesday's city council meeting. "We strongly condemn this senseless war waged by President Putin against the people of Ukraine," said the mayor. "There is simply no justification for the premeditated acts of aggression and the war that we are now witnessing. We stand in support of all the people of Ukraine who are living through their darkest hours. Putin's attack is an attack on democracy and freedom. Not just in Ukraine, but around the world, peace must prevail. We urge the Biden administration to use every diplomatic tool at their disposal to encourage Russia to cease their aggressive attack on Ukraine. Please pray for the people of Ukraine and pray for peace." Now, closer to home, one item of business. Now, just bear with me, okay? Because I'm just reading through the whole article here. Closer to home, one item of business on the agenda was an effort to address parking on Hanson Street. A new development coming to 38 Hanson Street included the sale of a municipal parking lot, removing about 20 spaces. I don't know if you knew that, but you do now. Councillor Chris Rice read a proposal to remove two-hour parking signs from one side of Hanson Street, from Columbus Street to 50 Hanson Street, adding two-hour signs on the opposite side of the street. Didn't that just bless your heart? "Removing the signs from the easterly side will help address parking with the Historic Society and the Attorney's Office," are, said Rice. "It will add 14 spaces, praise the Lord, including one handicapped spot. The council approved the Hanson Street plan." Some of you are wondering, "Pastor, where are you going with this? I thought we were talking about Palm Sunday." We're getting there. This is the part I want to get at. At the meeting, the councilor also challenged the mayor's decision to open all city council meetings with a prayer. He added that he had consulted with the ACLU. Right there, you, red flag, okay? ACLU. But that's Satan's law firm, by the way, okay? In case you were not aware of that. He consulted with the ACLU, and that he objects to beginning the meeting with an opening prayer. I think we could do with a moment of silence, he says. I am not a person of this faith, and I hope that other counselors will support me in that. Or we could read from different faiths. That fits into our culture today, doesn't it? That is called pluralism. That is called syncretism. You just throw them all into the pot, mix them together. And when you do that, Jesus and the message of the gospel loses its distinctiveness. It is because he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And no other, there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And you don't just mix them all together to make everybody happy. We do not compromise truth. We never do. The mayor said he likes the opening prayer and he's going to keep it. Good for him. But he offered to include other faith. After some discussion, the council decided to move the questions to the codes committee for further discussion after a motion by the counselor to ask for a required two-thirds vote to keep the discussion going, as it was not on the agenda, failed. So, what's this all about? Pastor, why are you boring me with that story from the newspaper? I thought we were in church today talking about Palm Sunday. Well, we are. The point being is whether it was 2,000 years ago or today, we live in days of competing messages. The one message that says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And the other message that says, I want nothing to do with your Jesus. And those are the days in which we live. So the choice is still there today. The choice is still valid. People must still make it. Whether it was 2,000 years ago or today, will you receive or will you reject this message? And the message is so very painfully clear. The message is this. The message is the same, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, will not perish but have eternal life. The message is still the same. The message is still the same today. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The message is still the same today. The wise, the sophisticated man of Jesus' day, the elders, the chief priests, the elite, they could not bring themselves to come to faith in Christ. It was foolishness to them. Man hasn't changed that much in 2,000 years, has he? Listen to the way the Apostle Paul puts it to the ancient Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 puts it this way. Paul writes, he says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews and folly to the Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Dear friends, today our message, our 2,000-year-old message, is the same. We preach it, we proclaim it without apology. We preach Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. And the name of Jesus is the only name that we can call upon to be saved from our sins. Zechariah told us this 500 years before it happened. Let me remind you of it one more time. This is how we started the service. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And that message would be fulfilled. But if you have Zechariah before you and you are in chapter 9 and you kept on reading, you would discover that that is not the end of the story. Because in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10, that verse says, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off," listen, "and he shall speak peace to the nations," listen, "his rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." What is that talking about? What's going on there? Friends, this is second Advent language. This is what will happen when Jesus comes again and he rules and establishes his millennial kingdom. He is coming again. His name is Jesus. He is king and he will rule in righteousness. We preach Jesus crucified, risen, and coming again. This was not an unusual thing for the ancient prophets to do. So often the prophets would speak of both his first and his second advent, though now we know today that they are separated by at least 2,000 years. When the prophets of old wrote about them, they wrote about them as if they were one. You remember that text of scripture we usually read during the Christmas season? Isaiah chapter 9? The Bible verse that says, "For to us a child is born, a son is given." That's first Advent language. But Isaiah goes on and he says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." What's that? That's second Advent language. That's when he comes again. Jesus is coming again. And he will establish his kingdom. And he will be king and he will rule and he will reign in righteousness. Yet we read this as all together. We know he came the first time. He came the first time physically, literally. Folks, he's coming again physically, literally, visibly, and he is coming again. He came the first time, gentle, riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey. He came and he would be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he is coming again. And when he comes again, he will not be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's coming again and he will be the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he will come with righteousness and to establish his kingdom and to sit on the throne of David. And today, our cry is the same as that of the ancient Corinthians. Maranatha, O Lord, come, come. So in this day, dear friends, of competing messages, in this day of seductive and persuasive voices, in this day in which we live when, please check the overhead compartment because things have shifted during flight, my message is very simple today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is no other king like our Jesus, prophesied long before he arrived, perfect and holy, without sin, full of grace, with unconditional love for us, a perfect sacrifice, a holy atonement, a lamb of sacrifice that satisfied the Father's just requirements, risen in power from the grave, ascended on high, today seated at the Father's right hand and coming again. There is no one like our Jesus. So as you depart today, my dear friend, I leave this with you. Think rightly, live faithfully, keep the faith, worship the King alone, finish well, to the praise and glory of his name. Let's pray together. O Lord, most blessed Lord, we recall the ancient story yet again. We love the ancient story. It is true. It points to you. The king was present. He announced the kingdom. Many rejected. Some responded well. And today, our Lord, we know that as the message continues to go forth from this body of believers and so many others, those today that we call the church, Father, I pray that you would help us, O Lord, to be faithful in our words, in our conduct. May we never, ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Greek. Lord, I pray that you would work in and through our lives this day and the week that is before us. May Christ be seen in us. May you get all the glory. Lord, we also say, along with the psalmist of old, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We say with the church of old, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. And Lord, when you do come again, may you find faith amongst your people. Lord, help us to live rightly, to live joyously, to live winsomely. May Christ be in us and seen in us. And Lord, to a dying world that is around us every day, may we as your people always, always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us. And Lord, let us always do so with grace, with reverence, pointing the way to Jesus. We thank you for him. Thank you for life in his name, life eternal, even from written in your book from the beginning of time, as we were reminded today. Lord, be glorified in this, thy church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, we reserved the last verse of hymn number 173 to dismiss you with today. So back to your hymnal. For those of you joining us at home, we are going back to the hymn that is entitled All Glory, Laud, and Honor. We're singing verse 3 only. So with that before you, it's 173 in our hymnal here. Please join me. Please stand with me. Let us sing together. Let us worship as we dismiss. And now, dear friends, as we began, so shall we conclude. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. God bless you all, dear friends. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day in the Lord.